Welcome to the Connect Kindness Podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans.
In today's episode, we interview Justin Wren, a.k.a. The Big Pygmy, who is the founder of Fight for the Forgotten. Their mission is to empower those who don't have a voice, from the forgotten people around the world affected by water crisis to the kids bullied in our neighborhoods and schools. Fight for the Forgotten wants to be their voice.
Yes, Crystal. In this interview, Justin opens up about how being bullied as a child has shaped the man he is today. He also shares how he went from being bullied and overcoming depression to becoming a world-renowned mixed martial artist and founder of his nonprofit, Fight for the Forgotten. This is an episode that you do not want to miss. So without further ado, this is our interview with Justin Wren of Fight for the Forgotten.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness Podcast. We are so excited to have the man, Justin Wren, on our podcast today. For those who don't know who Justin is a professional mixed martial artist who has fought in the UFC. He is currently competing in the heavyweight division of Bellator. Justin is a beast of an athlete, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about the impact Justin is making outside of the fighting cage. And Justin, you amplify someone who is connecting kindness, and we want to say thank you so much. I really do appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys, y'all's mission and vision. And for me, connecting kindness, like, that's an amazing, just two words that are stuck together. Like, that's what we need to do in this world. And that's who I want to be as a person, is connecting people to kindness and just putting love and compassion in action. And so I appreciate everything you guys are doing.
You can't see me, but I'm smiling on the other end, ear to ear. So thank you so much for saying that. Justin, you have an amazing story. You know, you've done an awesome job of kind of harnessing your childhood and your experiences and using that to impact a lot of people in a positive way. Can you share with our listeners more about the organization, your organization, Fight for the Forgotten, and what needs they serve?
Yeah, Fight for the Forgotten, our overarching vision is to defeat hate with love. That's just kind of our tagline. And really, it stems from we want to knock out bullying worldwide, whether that's here stateside through character development, or whether that's for the most bullied people in the world, for the which anthropologists call the most oppressed people group in the world, the pygmies. And I lived with the Mabuti pygmies in Congo for a year. I've been going there since 2011, every year back and forth on trips, and lived there 2013 and part of 2014. Now we've expanded from the Mabuti pygmies in eastern Congo, one of the most dangerous parts of the world. It's a war-torn region with over 40 different warring rebel groups, to now we're in western Uganda for the Batwa pygmies. I just got back from a trip there. And this time we're trying to build our fight team out to get more athletes and influencers that want to help spread our message and to knock out bullying. And we just got to take Chris Cyborg with us, which that name, if you're a fight fan, you know the name. But if you don't know the name, it's she's the most dominant female fighter of all times, more than Ronda Rousey. Not to compare their legacies, but she was undefeated for 13 years. And she's jumped on board with us, trying to help us knock out bullying. And so I grew up getting very heavily bullied. I sat at the lunch table by myself, got belted in the back of the head with food, chocolate milk spit wads, or fist. There was a couple moments, specific moments that was basically in front of the whole school, premeditated bullying moments where I just got crushed. From that, at 13 years old, I was diagnosed clinically with depression. And bullying is just something that whether it's actual, physical, verbal, emotional abuse or bullying, or if it's the water crisis, being the biggest bully in the world, taking the lives of 3.4 million people a year, 2 million under the age of 5 years old, we're looking to stand up and make a difference for the most bullied people group in the world, and also here stateside, make a difference.
That is amazing, Justin. You know, just listening to you, I can tell that you have, you know, so much passion for bully prevention. And you know, it's something that we definitely need in our schools. Do you have like a particular story that you can share with our listeners about possibly? I know you said you were bullied in school. Do you have a story that you could share with our listeners about that?
Yeah, I'll just probably go for the one that that impacted me the most. And it was eighth grade. I got invited to Jennifer's birthday party. She was my biggest crush, whether that was elementary, middle school, high school. There's a big bullying moment in this, but I have to set it up. Something came later, but really I was so stoked. I was excited to get invited to her party. She was one of the most popular girls in school, and I was kind of confused why I got invited, but I got an invitation, and on it said a costume contest, winner gets a prize. There's going to be a Dr. Pepper gumball machine, everyone at school was talking about what they were going to wear. There was people talking about going as Thor or Avengers or Transformers or different, you know, Batman, Superman, different things like that. And I knew that Jennifer loved Transformers, that she really liked Optimus Prime. And so I got this idea. The Dr. Pepper gumball machine is specific because her dad worked at Dr. Pepper. He was an executive there. Their house was decorated with Dr. Pepper. And I don't know, being from Texas, I don't know why, but it's in the culture of being a Texan. A lot of times, like, you love Dr. Pepper. So she loved Dr. Pepper. She loved Transformers. I came up with the idea with my mom that I would make myself transform into a Dr. Pepper Transformer. And so I was going to go as Dr. Optimus Pepper. And I had a 24-pack on my head. I had a 12-pack on my arms. I had a shield, a chest plate. I had a sword. My mom helped me with the cardboard boxes and some duct tape. I just thought I was gonna kill it at the party. And so I got there, Nini opened the door, her grandmother, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, Jennifer's gonna love this." And the rumors at school were true. They had a Dr. Pepper machine in their house. You didn't have to pay for it. I went up, pushed the button, and the Dr. Pepper popped right out. And so I go to the backyard where all the kids are, all my classmates, my peers, many of them I looked up to, and opened the door. And I was greeted by flashes of light and sounds of laughter. And as my eyes adjusted, I just looked out and saw that not one other person was dressed up. And my middle school crush, that's when I say she crushed me, because she said, "I can't believe you thought you were good enough to come to my party." And so right then and there, I didn't feel good enough. Right next to her, Tyler said, "You're worthless." And I felt worthless. And then my notorious middle school bully, who shared the same name as me, his name was Justin, he said, "You should just kill yourself." And so whenever that transpired, it wrecked me. I normally don't get into this part of the story, but that was actually when I ran away. I ran away from that party went to a Dairy Queen, was in the back behind the dumpsters, just crying. I ripped off the cardboard, threw it, you know, in the dumpster, and just sat there and cried. And it wasn't until an employee came out, and I don't know if they're throwing away trash or what they were doing, but they heard me, they saw me. They're like, "Oh, honey, you know, come inside, what's going on?" And this was after dark. And it was either a Friday or Saturday night, and this was before cell phones, so, or at least before kids had cell phones. And so I went inside, called my house. My mom didn't have a cell phone either, so I was just calling, leaving a voicemail home. Wasn't until she went back home. She was out looking for me. Wasn't until she went back home that she heard I was at Dairy Queen. Someone had stayed after and waited till my mom came. And I pretended to be homesick for 3 days. I think it was either Thursday or Friday that my parents made me go back to school. But by this time, the pictures were already circulating of me dressed up, and, you know, people call me stupid and dumb and all that different stuff. And it wrecked me right after that. My parents had to take me out of that school. So this goes with the statistic that is currently happening. 180,000 students each and every school day, Monday through Friday, 180,000 skip school because of bullying, because they don't feel like school is a safe place, or they feel tormented, or just, 180,000 kids skip school every day. That's 3 million school days lost every month in the U.S. alone. And it's childhood and teenage depression, addiction, suicide is all skyrocketing. I was one of the kids that attempted suicide. And it's just we've got to empower students. It's not enough just to have some disciplinary actions or no tolerance rules. Like, students have to be empowered through character development to stand up and do the right thing and give a voice to the voiceless, to defend the weak, to love the unloved, to empower people to just let people know that, hey, it's going to get better, that you're worth it, you're worthy, like you matter. And to, like you guys, your mission to spread kindness and to be kind and to know that kindness is cool and to be heroes. We have a character development curriculum called Heroes in Waiting, and we're wanting to get that into the school systems. Right now we have it in martial arts academies, but it's basically a 12-week curriculum saying that we're all heroes in waiting. And we're all able to make a difference. And so what is a hero? It's not someone with supernatural powers or cape. A hero is someone who sees a need and takes action immediately. And they don't stand by and be a bystander. They can stand up and say, hey, that's not kind. And statistics show that with someone saying something as simple as that, hey, that's not kind, it can shut down the bullying within 5 seconds, 87% of the time.
No way.
Whenever you go from being a bystander to an upstander.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a great stat. And that's just from your program you've been able to do that, or just in general you've been able to get that stat?
That's the general statistic, that whenever someone moves from being a bystander to being involved, it shuts bullying down. If they have to do it a second time, I think it goes up to 92 or 93% of the time, it shuts it down within like the next 10 seconds. Oh, and so people need to know that they are powerful, but just like the bully is asserting his power over somebody, we can counteract that through kindness. Mm-hmm. And a bystander thinks they're an innocent bystander, but truly that's not the case. Statistics show and studies show that whenever you're being a bystander, the bully takes that as being a silent supporter. So if you're not doing something, you're actually involved. Mm-hmm. If you're a bystander, you didn't choose it, but it chose you, but you're actually involved and you are now presented with a choice. And that's to do something or to do nothing. And if you do nothing, that is empowering that bully with encouragement. It's a silent support because you're not doing something, because you're not standing up and defending the person or just interacting in a way of counteracting that, like inviting the person to come sit over with you when they're sitting all alone and being ridiculed or when the bullying's, there's power in numbers. You know, bullies normally go after this might sound cliche, but either who's perceived as the smaller, the weaker, the lonely, or the one that's off on their own and not in a group. And so to bring someone into the fold, to just love on them, to bring them into your friend group, or just you, it really does have power and it can really make a difference and it can actually save lives.
Thank you so much for sharing, you know, the story about when you're growing up. I have two young boys and I'm trying to instill in them empathy, kindness, all of these important things. And like you said, don't just sit around and watch someone gets picked on, you stand up for them. And it's a very powerful story. And what advice would you give to someone who is being bullied, whether it's online or in school, in the community?
First, I think they need to know to hold on, hang on. It gets better. You're going to be all right. I mean, if I look at my life and if I think if I would have ended it at 13 years old, I would have missed out on an opportunity to live a good and fulfilled, loving, kind life where I get to love on people and encourage them and be loved on back. And it gets better. Hold on. Your life is is and will be amazing if you just grit through this tough time. And life's tough, but it's worth it. And so I would say that, and then I would say find an outlet, find a purpose, find your purpose, something you can focus on that's good and positive. You know, a lot of times you get distracted with things. It might be social media, it might be things online, it might be just something that can just be a distraction where we suppress, where we isolate, where we sedate ourselves to just ignore the problem. But instead, why don't we focus on something better, greater, something good? And in mine was wrestling. That helped me. It was a sport, but I'm a professional mixed martial artist, and that word's something important to me, martial artist. I'm not just a fighter. It's a martial art. And so I think you got to find ways to express yourself. And mine was through wrestling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing. It was through the Olympic sports of those things. And it was through learning and progressing and challenging myself and becoming a better version of myself. It was through learning how to take losses and grow through that, and having heartbreak, but overcoming the obstacles. It might be music for somebody else. It might be band, or it might be actual art. And so it could be reading, it could be writing, it could be poetry, it could be anything. It could be volunteering. I mean, that is something huge. You guys know this. You're connecting so many different organizations that spread kindness through the world. And there really is something special that happens when we step outside of ourselves and we stop focusing on our problems. We open up our perspective to the challenges that other people face. And we decide to take action, to get involved, to get off the sidelines or off of the bench, and to get into the game of life, and to make an impact in someone else's life. It when you help someone else, it actually in turn helps you. And you don't do it for that reason. But if that's what gets you to volunteer for the first time, then hey, there's a lot worse things we could be doing and focusing on. So get out there and help somebody. Because it's actually going to help you too. And so I would say that to someone going through bullying. I know that's a very long thing, but that's some thank you answers.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Amen.
I love everything that you just said. And I love the fact that we're having this conversation in the month of May, because it is a mental illness awareness month. Yes. And everything that you said relates to somebody. It could be a listener, it could be a child that they're going, maybe a cousin, a mom, whatever it is, everything that you just said can relate to somebody, and I completely agree with it. I know that you said find an activity, find something to keep you busy, to keep, you know, grow a friendship, build that community on your own, but why'd you choose wrestling? What was about wrestling that made you want to become committed to this, and this was what's going to help you?
There was a couple things. One I don't know if I've ever talked about publicly, but I'll save that one. I fell in love with the sport of mixed martial arts just a couple weeks or a couple months after that party. When I found MMA and the UFC, and now I fight with Bellator. I fought with UFC, now I fight with Bellator. When I found it as a child, 13, or not young adult, whatever we call it, but I fell in love with the art of it. I fell in love with the human chess match that it was. And so I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to learn something new that nobody else was doing, that could be mine, that I could kind of own it. And honestly, I'd only played team sports at that time. And even as a kid, being on a football team, the quarterbacks blaming the linemen are blaming this guy, and I don't mean to you know, but you can blame each other for the loss, and
sure.
Or you can rally around each other for the win and share and kind of not the glory, but the victory. But there was something that really drew me to the individual sport of it, that, hey, it's on me. And if I lose, it's on me. I can't blame anybody. And if I win, like, I put in the hard work and effort and overcame. Also, I think that when I say that, like, I came from, I love my dad, but he was one of those very controlling parents, and this is the part I've never talked about publicly, but you know, he got kicked out of a couple of games, whether it was baseball or football, or just yelling at the coaches or yelling at the referees, and that actually had me quit football and quit baseball. And he knew how to play those sports. And whenever I chose wrestling, he didn't know anything about it. And so I could come off the mat, my first year and a half, I won one match by 1 point. And besides that, I lost everything. And I got not just beaten, I got destroyed in every match. I remember there was one time a guy literally holding me down with one hand. He was a senior. I just started wrestling. He was from Oklahoma. I was from Texas. He had wrestled his whole life. This was, like, you know, my first few months of wrestling. And he's holding me down laughing and pinning me. And that was kind of demoralizing. And I got off the mat. My dad's disappointed in me. But whenever he started trying to tell me, you know, you could have done, you could have done what? You know, like, you know, and it was just kind of, he didn't have the techniques to tell me. He didn't have the advice to give me. And it was something that I could focus on for me. And maybe this is why I haven't really shared it publicly. I don't really have a great point to go along with it. But it was just something I could make my own. And that had a lot of value to it.
Yeah, not to mention you ended up being a state champion. So you ended up being pretty good at it. You know, you go from high school state wrestling champion to then fighting in the UFC, and then currently you're fighting in Bellator. Where in your path did you feel the desire to give back and start Fight for the Forgotten?
Yeah, like you said, I actually became technically a 10-time state champion in Texas.
Wow.
I was a 5-time All-American, a 2-time national champion. I was coached by an Olympic gold medalist, and they made me good pretty quick, even after that year losing. Things just started to click. I started to get some confidence, started to believe in myself. It was something that was character building for me. To go through the tough stuff, to go through the losses and the defeats, and to have mentors speaking into my life. But this is what I would say is, don't, you can look around, and if there's a young person that's listening to this, you can look around at any industry, whether it's the music industry and the most famous people, the acting industry and the most famous wealthy people, the business world. I've been around some of the most successful people. I've had dinners and become friends with people that are not just millionaires, but people to be billionaires. And you can look at the professional athletes, and that won't fulfill you. The accolades, the accomplishments, the money, that won't fulfill you. You know, I had wrestled in Moscow, kickboxed in Amsterdam, in the main event at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas. I'd fought in front of 6.8 million people. Couldn't go to the grocery store without someone, either the cash register asking for a picture, which is great, or someone kind of creepily following me in the aisles, snapping pictures of me, thinking I don't see them, but saying, hey, would you rather have a selfie, you know? And so some of those things might have been cool, but they weren't great. I fell into through an injury, had to have a surgery through that. Depression came back in, and addiction came in hardcore. I fell back to opiates. I had a several-year battle with opiate addiction, Oxycontin in specific, oxycodone, both. One's the time release, one's the short-acting. And it was because it was all about me. And it was all about what I'm doing, my accomplishments, my dreams, my goals. And the stuff didn't fulfill me. So whenever I came through the addiction, I had some people really love on me, help me, give me tools. For me personally, this isn't pushing on anyone, but through finding my faith and just experience God's love, it made me want to love people and fight for people. And so what I found through that was just that life's not about me. And how can I make a difference? And how can I fight for people? And so I started small. I started at the local Denver Rescue Mission with the homeless. I became an official volunteer through going through night classes at the Denver Children's Hospital. And through all that, it led me to finding the most oppressed people group in the world, the most bullied, and I could really connect to them through you know, not going through the oppression they're going through, but through being able to connect and know what it's like to feel bullied, you know, through wanting to start Fight for the Forgotten and have a rally cry, letting people know that they're worth the fight. And so that's what really got me out of my addiction, out of my depression, and into a much higher life calling than being a professional athlete. You know, people look up to professional athletes, even tag on the lines heroes and stuff like that. And I've been told that by people. It feels weird hearing someone say, "Oh, you're my hero because I'm an athlete." Like, what do you? Why? But the true heroes aren't athletes. Like, just performing in a sport. Like they're doing something in the world. They're making the world better. Whether it's many lives or whether it's just the life of one person. People don't have to know about it. Like, it's not for Instagram likes or things like that. That's what I love about our curriculum. There's one specific hero challenge that they get them every week. But one of the hero challenges is go complete a secret random act of kindness. And so the rules are: be safe, don't put anyone in harm's way, but and the other person can't know about you being the one that's doing the act of kindness. But you know, report back. You know, how did that make them feel? How did that make you feel? You know, how can you build on this and make a difference in other people's lives? And so, I don't know. Like, for me, it's just about making a difference. That's what life's kind of all about. I mean, there's a lot more to it, but that's a big overarching one. Is how can the one life that I get to live for this short amount of time, how can it impact someone else's life for the better? And whether it's for the next generation, how can my ceiling be there for, you know, how can the good things I did, how can that be just the beginning for them? And how can they go do bigger, better, greater things than I ever thought of or dreamed of? You know, how can we encourage and support and inspire people to believe that their life can mean great things?
You just taking the time and talk with us and sharing your story just shows the humble guy that you are and the big heart that you have within you. You know, you're walking 6 foot, you know, higher than most people, but I think your heart, you're a teddy bear. And I think everything that you stand for is amazing. And there's a picture on your Instagram, and I want people to go ahead and go follow Justin Wren. And he has his long beard, and there's all these kids, like, tugging at his beard, and they're all smiling. And it's like, I saw that picture, and I was like, this makes me laugh. This makes my heart happy. This guy is enjoying life, and it is fulfilling. I think the work that you're doing will bring the biggest happiness you've ever, you know, had in your life, until maybe you have a child or, you know, family. They're pretty important too. But, you know, you've talked about the Pygmies. What are some of the bully prevention programs that you're doing, and how can people get involved with that? Because that's extremely important. I want to put a big focus on that in this podcast.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. For the Pygmies, we do community development. And so we do land, water, and food initiatives. Right now, we'll be releasing a kind of teaser trailer of a documentary from our time in Uganda. And we're going back, and just some really great things are happening for the Batwa Pygmies. We've teamed up with the king of the Batwa Pygmies, King Zito. I mean, it's just amazing to see them get land of their own. They were evicted from the forest where they've always called their ancestral home, and they're evicted from the forest and put on less than 1 acre of land. And there's over 300 people. They've dwindled down to just 151. They basically, that less than 1 acre of land has over 100 graves. They live in a graveyard. It's just brutal, brutal living conditions. No clean water, no way to farm for themselves, because no land of their own. And so we've been able to get them land back. They're farming that land. It's awesome to see the king. I think a good leader, there's a saying, and I think a leader knows the way, goes the way, and then shows the way. And seeing the king with his shirt off, with a pickaxe or a hoe or just different farming tools and leading the way for his people has been really inspiring. Us being able to drill the water wells through the local people, empowering them, educating them on how to drill the wells, equipping them with the tools to drill the wells, and empowering them to do it for themselves. That's been incredible. So people, if they can do financial donation, that's what that would go to, is the land, water, and food initiatives. And that's a way to get involved. And that's a way that we operate and make a difference in their lives. The king, you know, is literally fearful that in just a few years they lost half their population. He was like, you know, we don't want our people group to go extinct from Uganda. And so we're partnering with them to really, you know, try to turn a big ship around and so do a 180. And it's been awesome to see them grab it hold. We cast a vision, they caught the vision, and they're just running with it. So it's inspiring. And then here stateside, people can reach out to us, a great email form if they want to do the character development curriculum and bully prevention curriculum. It's just matthew@fightfortheforgotten.org. He's our kind of champion of our bully prevention curriculum, is Matthew Kouse, and he's an incredible guy. He'd love to get in touch with you, especially if you're a martial arts academy or in wrestling or something like that. So we say kind of sport, you know, we have these mat chat topics. But we're trying to get into public and private schools and online schooling. We think we can really make a difference because our curriculum in July will be online. And so people can walk through the teaching videos, hero challenge videos, and then they can go out and make a difference. And so that's what we're really excited about. I've been working with internationally since 2011. And people have asked, you know, hey, when are you going to do something here too, stateside? And I've always done stuff when I can, but this is a way that we can really materialize it and be able to track it, be able to show people, hey, we're really doing something in the community, in our neighborhoods. And so we hope to be in, we're 100 martial arts academies right now, and we want to be in thousands. You know, we want to be in all over. And so we think what we've got is something powerful, just something empowering to the student, even the parents. There's parent videos for them to get involved in their, either whether it's youth or teens' life, and help them with their heroes challenges, or at least be involved and know about it and check in on it and see how they're doing. And so yeah, I'm kind of all over the place there, but those are kind of two ways to make a difference internationally. With land, water, food, and then stateside through our character development program.
Awesome. Well, Justin, thank you so much for taking time to share your story. And it's a beautiful story, and you're helping so many people. For people that want to follow you on, I know you're on Instagram. Crystal and I both follow you. What's the best place to follow you? Instagram, Twitter? What do you prefer?
Yeah. I would say where I post the most is Instagram, and then I do have a Facebook. It's just Justin Wren. My Instagram and Twitter is @TheBigPygmy. So that's my fight name now. It used to be the Viking, but the Pygmies named me Efeosa Butimangbo, and you got to say it like that, or it doesn't make sense. But it just translates to the Big Pygmy, and so I love that. And so that's where people can follow me. Our website is fightfortheforgotten.org. We also just started a Fight for the Forgotten Instagram, so people can go follow that. That'd be really great. We've got maybe 10 or less posts, and so it's really fresh and new, and we're going to be updating that a lot. But that's how people kind of follow how we're making a difference. And really our website's kind of our hub, our kind of, our embassy online where people can know what we're doing in the world. And so we'd love people to check us out there. We're currently doing a fundraiser for the Batwa Pygmies. And there's a link there where you can go to Mission to Uganda and check out the details of the land, water, and food. And people can donate directly to that. We have a $72,000 goal. We've raised over $30,000 so far. And we really need to hit that goal so we can accomplish the goals we have for the Batwa.
Fantastic. Well, Justin, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You're an amazing human being, and thank you for connecting kindness to the world, man.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate y'all's time, and just thank you. This was a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again sometime, and just love y'all and your mission and vision. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.